You ready for some coffee, honey?
Absolutely.
I'll pour.
Great coffee. I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
And we are Talking
While Married.
Well, on November 8th of 2017, an officer-involved shooting took place in the city of Mesquite, Texas, involving then-officer Derek Wiley and a suspicious individual. Officer Wiley had been called out to a industrial area in regards to a suspicious person and a suspicious vehicle in the parking lot. And as a result of that encounter, an officer-involved shooting evolved.
And you can hear the entire first part of that story on part one, and we are now in part two of the story of the prosecution of an innocent officer.
And welcome back to Talking While Married. Officer, then Officer Derek Wiley, and his defense attorney, Kathy Lothrop.
Yes. And I also want to mention that Dr. Ron Martinelli, my Talking While Married partner, was also a big part of this case as the police practices expert. So we'll be talking more about that. But we want to continue the story with Derek's attorney, Kathy Lothrop. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Linda. Thank you. Yeah, this is a story that I don't think any of us will forget, especially Derek and I. But we're at that point of time that Derek, you know, started to volunteer and contribute to giving his statements, both under the criminal aspect and the internal affairs aspect that he referred to as Garrity. So Derek was cooperative, working under the guidance of myself, his defense attorney, and Cleet, who thank you for supporting Derek through this whole thing. And so Derek was indicted quickly, as we stated in the earlier episode. And then the investigation on our end started. So it was an awkward type thing because, you know, the police department, who is Derek's friends for that matter, they're his co-workers, people he's known for 10 years. And then there's the pull of the police chief. And so while I'm investigating and trying to talk to some of the peers and what get their story, some of the patrol officers that helped to show that the suspect was even combative while they were trying to give him medical care, he was fighting them. And they had to use force on him also, physical force. And then, you know, trying to talk to these witnesses was very awkward because they didn't know if they were going to lose their job if they cooperated. And yet, you know, they're a witness. And so it was very difficult for me to try to figure out how far I can go. One of the things that I did do with Derek, though, was take in all the evidence that the district attorney provided us. And I went through it line by line with Derek because he's not your typical defendant. He has this criminal background, law enforcement background, and I knew that only he could assist me to the degree that I wanted in this case. And he understood the officers that were called upon to investigate. And so I literally treated him, you know, quite differently in that aspect and going over everything with him from the beginning to the end. The things that were very hard during this time was the media, the Black Lives Matter, civil rights activists, the district attorney's office. The district attorney herself, Faith Johnson, was on the media broadcasting stuff saying she was going to prosecute to the fullest. Well, that doesn't help in him getting a fair trial. It was as if the district attorney's office was against the police department. And that was so strange for me because I'm used to working a little more in Tarrant County, which is Fort Worth, and now I'm in Dallas County, which is where Mesquite falls in. It's a total different arena. I'm used to The police are respected. The police work with the district attorney's office as a witness of the state. And in this case, they were against the police department and against Derek. And they made it clear on the media. And I know, Derek, you were threatened yourself during this time. Is that correct?
Oh, yes. I was getting multiple threats on social media from everywhere. I hope I catch you on the streets to, you know, I hope you go to prison and, you know, bad stuff happened to you. You know, I'm sure you can use your imagination, but and this was daily, probably for about 2 weeks, 3 weeks, I was getting threats. And I'll never forget one day I was outside, because at this time, you know, I wouldn't even let my stepdaughter go outside and play with her friends without me being out there, because I was afraid somebody was going to show up at the house. They had a black pickup that pulled up in front of the house, and I made her run into the garage, and I hurried up and closed the door. And it ended up being a package deliverer that was using a personal vehicle to drop off packages. But that's just to kind of give you an idea of how intense and scary it was, thinking, you know, someone was going to show up at my house and do something stupid.
It was clear during this time that the Black Lives Movement, and I won't name the person or give him the honor, but I'll just refer to him as that way, was clearly in the ear of the district attorney's office. Matter of fact, if I remember right, there was social media to this effect that they was going to threaten the district attorney's votes. And so, you know, they were getting their way, and all of a sudden it felt like the district attorney and the police department was turning on Derek, although there were hints of people that were really caring about him. I remember the Christmas after, Derek kept telling me how his department was coming by and bringing things to help the family out. Is that correct, Derek?
Yes, the Mesquite Police Association and the Mesquite Police Wives Association. I mean, they were awesome. We had food, stuff for the baby. I mean, we might still have wipes in the closet that we haven't used yet. That's how much stuff that they gave us. We got gift cards and money for Christmas that year. And, you know, I can't thank them enough for everything that they did for us. And Cleet, I mean, they everybody was just awesome that was in my corner. They, which, you know, people on the news didn't show that, or the people in public didn't know all the support that I had. But I'll forever be thankful for that, because I don't think I would have made it through it without them.
Well, I want to point out real quickly that during this time, going back to the day of the shooting, which was November 8th, 2017, you were to be married just a couple of days later.
Correct. Yeah, that day was supposed to be my last day to work.
And, wow.
Amazing.
Yeah. And
you put off your wedding.
Yeah, that got canceled. We ended up just going to the JP and getting married. And then found out we were expecting a baby. So, you know, I had that to start getting ready for. So it was just a lot going on. And the support that we got was just, I don't even have words for it.
You know, Derek, I want to tell you that I've met you. I've met your wife. I just want to tell you that your wife was just so, just her words about you, about the kind of man that you are. She said that she was worried about marrying a police officer, but that you showed her your heart and she knew what a great man you are. And that's my impression as well. So when people vilify our police officers, they have no idea. These people that Kathy's talking about on the media that are vilifying him, the people that are sending him, you know, social media threats, they don't know this man. and they don't know what a good man he is, and that the last thing in his heart would be to have any intent to harm anybody other than to protect his own life.
And, you know, I think equally important, and this is things for our, you know, our audience, our friends, our listeners, our followers to understand. And it's certainly a big part of what I do for a living is the real search for the truth. And up to that time, there had not been a real search for the truth. And I think Kathy and Derek will talk about that. But so here are people at the media, Black Lives Matter, political advocates, the district attorney's office that did not know what the truth was. And even when they started finding out what the truth was, they still stayed the course and continued to corruptly, you know, prosecute this fine officer.
And use a false narrative.
Exactly. And here he is. You know, the truth had not come out. Nobody was really from the DA's office, in my opinion, was really moving forward to really seek the truth. But here he is, and he's getting death threats when he should be on his honeymoon and enjoying a new baby. Yeah. And that's one of the tragic, you know, parts of this story.
Okay, well, let me tell you how I got to the truth. So going back to those videos, and I had this young man take the videos and separate the frames one at a time so I could slow it up and see what really happened. And thank God for me thinking of doing this, because now we were able to see, since the body cam was right on the chest, we were able to see as he put his hand, his duty weapon out in front of him, we could see the lineman of his weapon and the suspect through the video. And one frame at a time allowed us to figure out that when the slide of the gun went back, that he had now pulled the trigger. We went just immediately before that and was able to determine what position the suspect was in. Why did I do that? Because he had to think, I'm in danger, pull the trigger. And so when you pull the trigger and go right back before, I'm in the timeline of him thinking what my danger is, why I'm shooting. And so you could see the suspect in that bladed position. So that was one of the first things that helped. Meanwhile, we got originally two other experts, not Dr. Ron. He didn't come into the second trial. But the first one that, well, one of the ones that we got is a very interesting story. He was hired by the district attorney's office. After he reviewed the file, he told them, this is a lawful shooting. And they didn't want to hear that. So they basically told him, we won't need you, but under Brady, which is a legal case law that says anything that helps to exonerate Derek has to be told to me. So they had to tell me about that encounter. So then I called their expert. That expert became our expert, and he was testifying in our first trial. Along with him, I got another lawful use force expert that was somewhere around the east side of Texas. And so we went in with two experts who can report, you know, about what happened. And that's where we start with our first trial, just peeling everything apart, using our experts, being ready to confront their expert, because they went and hired a paid hand out of Denver to come in and say that it was unlawful shooting when their first expert said it was lawful. So, you know, that's just a hired hand in my eyes. They were trying to force these facts on the public and to the jurors, even knowing. Now, how I know that they knew also was because they portrayed a photo through an accident reconstruction. They did the flyover, took pictures, sent this over to this expert in East Texas, another expert, and she created a photo of the suspect running from the scene as Derek was shooting him. And that wasn't true, because if you go back to the slowed frames, and we were able to put her to rest, And later I accidentally bumped into her in another scenery, and she conveyed to me that the district attorney's office wanted the point of time when you could see the gunpowder, which was a flash in the background trees, which was very dark because of the night and the lack of lighting. So you could see that in a frame after the slide went back. And so, and I know Dr. Ron could did speak to that in our second trial, but that told me she was intentionally told to do a position where he was running so they can convey that negative message to the jury, which to me bordered, you know, some ethics issues. So we were able to cancel her testimony through our efforts of slowing the video down frame by frame and put her to rest. But meanwhile, the trial was held, and on the first struggle of the jurors when they were deliberating, they were, we can't come to an agreement. And it turned out it was 8-4 for not guilty. The judge went back there to talk to them. And normally at that point of time, they do something where they go back there and say, now look, jurors, there's a charge that we have that says, and you can read it to them in the open courtroom and tell them, if you don't do it, we're going to have to hire another set of juries. It's going to cost us way more money, and we're going to have to do this again. Please go back and deliberate again. The judge refused to give it to us because this is just my speculation. I have no proof of this at this time, nor did I seek it. But I believe that he knew we were winning 8-4 and just wanted to cancel the trial. So he called the trial. Both the DA and I both wanted him to read this instruction to the jury, which is a normal practice, but he refused, and that ended it. Hung jury, trial one.
Well, we will continue with trial two when we come back.
Spreading the out loud truth from sea to shining sea. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. This is not a fight of Republican versus Democrat. It's not a fight of rich versus poor, old versus young, man versus woman, gay versus straight. It's not a fight of black lives, blue lives, Hispanic lives, or white lives. This is a battle of good versus evil. It's a fight for the soul of humanity. We are the vision of the voices, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
That wait between trials had to be really stressful to Derek also, you know, and I'm sure a lot of people, actually he told me people questioned whether, do you have the right lawyer, Derek? And I love Derek for this. He had faith and confidence in what I was doing. My heart was wholly in it. I had brought on another lawyer in the first trial, and we now were, without getting into big explanation, but now we had that lawyer and another lawyer due to circumstances. But he now had three lawyers on this with me as lead counsel. But I knew that I had to win this. And so, but meanwhile, the district attorney was voted out. And so that Black Lives Matter, the promise of black votes didn't work. And they put the votes on the other lawyer, candidate, and he won, and he was a Democrat. The lady that was in there was appointed because of a medical reasons. And so she was on there for just a period of time, but she was appointed as Republican. She was a black female. And now the new district attorney was a black male Democrat. And so I figured, well, maybe they won't want to retry this, and they'll drop it or something after they review the trial, the transcripts, or whatever they need to do, consult with the, you know, prosecutors that handled the case. So I finally got a meeting in late January, February, somewhere in there, to go talk to the new district attorney. He let me present my case on what I wanted, what I thought we should do. And of course, I was fighting for a dismissal based on the results of the trial. I pretty much reiterated the full trial, what the evidence showed. The last thing he said to me was, Kathy, you've never been in a political trial like this before? And I just looked at him and went, no. And so that told me everything. Sure enough, he was going to retry it and made the assistant district attorney retry the case. Hearing that, I just couldn't let Derek down. I knew he was an innocent man, and that was a lot of weight on my shoulders, but I was up for the fight, and my approach was, I have to do something different. I got to catch them off guard. If they can just rehash what we already did, they're going to be more ready for me. So what can I do different? And that's when I started going to different directions and ultimately was led to Dr. Ron as an expert and changed my approach a little bit to what I thought I was going to do. And I was now into more forensics, more information about things that jurors could understand, like reaction time and different factors, stress and different things. And Dr. Ron could explain that better. But so I knew I needed to get him. And one of the things that he helped me do was lighten up the video that I had already done of the time of the fight on the ground up to the actual shooting of the Derek's gun. And the frame by frame was now lit up. That part of that video was lit up. And that's when we discovered why Derek lost control of the suspect, because it was like just reaction. It was a natural reaction on training that is engraved in a police officer to never let a suspect get your gun. And he protected that gun when he was reaching without even realizing it in the first trial. And you could just see his face light up to offer that explanation, how this little scrappy little skinny guy was able to overcome Derek's strength. And so it made more sense. And Derek was so relieved to know that it wasn't anything he did. It was a natural instinct of protecting that weapon. And that's how the suspect broke loose and how everything evolved. But by lining it up, we had another piece of information that we didn't have in the first trial. And we had an expert that was heavy duty, national recognized. You name the case, he's probably been on it, Dr. Ron Martinelli. And thank you, Clee.
Well, thank you for that introduction too, Kathy. So Dr. Ron obviously is here with us, and this case also had a large impact on Ron, I can tell you, as his wife, just as it did on you, Kathy, and especially on Derek and Megan Wiley. So Dr. Ron, let's hear your portion of this case.
Well, actually, I'm really enjoying listening to Kathy, she and her team were just amazing people to work with. You know, one of the things that an expert wants to do, and especially, my motto is a search for the truth, is you want to have a wonderful working relationship with the legal team, and you want to make sure that you're working with mature attorneys that are willing to be educated and trained in some of the things, that I do for a living. And what I try to do, no matter what side I'm on, if I have a legal team that resonates with that idea, I want to try to teach them some of the nuances of forensic sciences. And I want them to understand what the forensic evidence is and assist them with strategy. And they have to be open-minded to see how that forensic evidence and some ideas about strategy can work into the overall defense of a police officer. And certainly Kathy and her team were just like that. I will tell you, absolutely, it was so helpful to have Kathy as lead attorney, who used to be in law enforcement herself. And that, she brings so much to the table in that regard. having the honor, having the confidence of Cleat to bring me in as their law enforcement and forensic expert in this case was a very big deal to me, because I had not been in the state of Texas very long, trying to establish my reputation. I was working on other cases before, but this was such a high profile officer involved shooting case, which, as Kathy has explained, involved Black Lives Matter, of which I'm a subject matter expert in. And like I said, literally wrote the book, was really the type of case that I wanted to be involved in. And then next came working with the legal team to see what the discovery evidence was and seeing how we bring forensics into this, not just an investigation. So, because the DA does an investigation, but they didn't have the resources that Martinelli and Associates Justice and Forensic Consultants has. We can basically do everything that the FBI can do. And so, immediately when I'm talking with Kathy and I'm getting an opportunity to talk with Derek Wiley, I am learning about the evidence. And sort of my job, besides being the lead forensic investigator, is if you remember the old Mission Impossible movies and the series where you had Mr. Phelps and then you'd get a case and he'd throw some dossiers in front of himself and he'd study those old dossiers of these different experts. That's me. I'm Mr. Phelps. So I'm the director of the Forensic Death Investigations team, and I needed to look. And of course, I know my people fluently. I needed to bring in and bring to bear and present to Kathy and her legal team, other experts that could help us. And so we were able to take a look at the evidence, and then I was able to take that and turn that that evidence into a meaningful strategy for Derek and for Kathy and her legal team.
Kathy, how did that help the second trial?
Well, no stress, but we were live streamed out there. So the whole video was out there for the nation to see. But now that we had this more information and Dr. Ron, who was able to explain to the jurors, and he does a wonderful job explaining in a simplistic manner. The problem with a lot of experts is they are big on themselves and they use the big words and to show what they know, but the jurors fall asleep. I think the jurors were on the edge of the seat with Dr. Ron to make sure that they understood and were listening to what he said. Now, he knew so much about everything that I had to pick and choose my battle. This one thing I had to do is not hit everything, but pick the most important things, like the reaction time that it takes to size up the situation, react, shoot a gun, all that. He had all that down to seconds and a timeline that people could understand. And that was important because the way that the suspect was in front of Derek felt like he was about to die. But if you're off on that, you see a man running. I mean, so that was very key and important. And, and we already explained the lighting of it, but he was able to go through a lot of scientific things that were important for them to understand. And the state was not expecting all that. They were not able to refute anything Dr. Ron had to say. When they tried, they didn't win. Because Mr. Martinelli, Dr. Ron Martinelli is, got it on them. So,
well, you know what? Thank you so much for saying that, Kathy. You know, I thought, and I'd like to hear you join in with me here. I thought one of the most important things that we needed to impress upon the jury was the fact that even though the suspect in the case ultimately did not have a weapon, all right, there was objective reasonableness, which is the standard. It has to be an objective standard. It has to be probable cause in order to use force, especially deadly force. And so the challenge to me as an expert was the two most important things that I needed to impress upon the jury and get them to resonate with and agree to was, number one, even though the suspect did not factually have a gun, it was still objectively reasonable for Derek Wiley to believe that the suspect, in his behavior and his stance, his bladed stance and the way he held his hand up in those milliseconds, in that darkness, with that drizzle, with the spotlight of the car in his eyes, in the darkness, with the fog of the exhaust, because it was so darn cold that night, in those milliseconds, it was objectively reasonable for Officer Wiley to believe that that man had abruptly pulled out a firearm and was pointing that firearm at him. That was the first thing. The second thing was, how do we reconcile in front of the jury the fact that Derek had testified repeatedly that when he fired at that suspect, the man was facing him, holding out his hand as if he was producing a weapon, but yet forensically there were two holes in this man's back. And how did that occur? And that was a huge challenge that I needed to impress upon the jury. Could you discuss that a little bit?
Yeah. And that was a key point we forgot to talk about in segment one. That definitely contributed to everything. Is no gun, black male, two bullets in his back. I mean, that was not a good combination of events that we had to overcome, but thank God for the videos and everything else. Your testimony on the timing, and because it doesn't take much time to just continue your movement, that your back move or turns, and the force of a gun also could send the body even into a spin a little further, a little bit faster, the impact of the first bullet and then the second. But he did everything by the book, but there was no gun, and that was the scary thing about this, and in the back. So Dr. Ron, you did an amazing job in conveying it and supporting what we said in the first story, but you gave it the science behind it that we didn't have. We just had the experts saying lawful use of force, but you took it one step further and supported it with science. And that was one of the two things that we did differently, lightening up the video and bringing you in to go into the sciences that they were not prepared. Their experts did not have that expertise, and they couldn't contradict it. And so that made a big difference in it. And it didn't take as long. A lot of people were taken out of the trial. They got more condensed to how many witnesses. So the trial was a little bit shorter. It went about a week and a half the first time and about a week the second time. Derek testified both times. I did not let him testify in grand jury. I asked them to please the recorded interview with the detective to use that as his statement, because in a grand jury, I can't go in there. He's there left by himself. But in trial, I was there to make sure that he's not bullied, that he gets a statement out in an accurate manner. And I let him testify on both trials. And it was necessary to say he believed it was in self-defense.
Derek, I want to ask you, what was different at this time in this second trial, and how were you feeling then? And how did you feel about having an expert like Dr. Ron come in and give this further clarification of evidence?
Well, let me back up to the first one real quick. One thing happened that I'll never forget when we was in Vordire. I guess the DA didn't like the jury panel, and it was a form that Kathy had forgot to get filled out that would basically said I would be eligible for parole instead of going to prison if I would have got found guilty.
Probation,
I'm sorry. And I almost felt like the DA tried to bully me he wanted to just squash the panel and start all over. And that kind of gave me some confidence that, okay, they know this is wrong. And what Kathy said, you know, people was wanting me to question her. And, you know, I always, one phrase my coach, college coach, used to always say, the eye in the sky don't lie. And in this situation, I knew God knew what was in my heart that night when this happened. And I felt like Kathy was sent for a reason, and I was going to ride her out, win or lose. I was going to ride this out with her. I had already made that decision. So I think one of the biggest things outside of having Dr. Martinelli was by far, hands down, the number one thing that changed the second trial. But I also think on the second trial, we had a visiting judge that presided over the case, the trial. And I honestly felt like he was neutral compared to the first judge. And like Kathy said, you know, they just didn't have any comeback for all the research and, you know, forensic scientific stuff that Dr. Martinelli had to present compared to there's something else that I'll never forget when the DA had the expert on the stand. I believe they asked him if he had any notes or anything. And he said, no, he said, all I did was watch the video. And he didn't have anything, any objection with the way I walked up to the car with, you know, the language that was used. All he got up there and said was that he didn't agree with the shooting and he had no scientific or forensic evidence why. And I honestly felt like that was the big turning point compared to the first trial.
I can't imagine how frustrating that must have been for you. We're going to continue in just a moment.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Hi, I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli, forensic criminologist, death investigator, and host of A Thread of Evidence on America Out Loud. Are you a fan of CSI shows and documentaries? Are you fascinated with how death investigators like me solve high-profile death cases like you see on the news? If so, then I encourage you to join me as I unpack some of the most high-profile police and civilian-involved death cases in my best-selling book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police. Read all about the forensic evidence you never heard on the evening news. You can get a copy of my best-selling book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police, today by ordering it on my forensic site at www.dronmartinelli.com. DrRonMartinelli.com. And remember, without truth, there is no justice. So, Derek, you know, as a police officer at the time, former police officer, you've been involved in, you know, this entire traumatic experience of the trials and everything. I brought into the case, you and I get to meet each other, and we had an opportunity to work together a little bit in prepping for this case. And like Kathy talked about, I needed to get the science established for a proper defense. What was it like? This is the first time you've ever worked with a law enforcement and forensic expert. What was that like for you that day when we went out together out at the crime scene? And then how did it carry over into the trial? And what were your impressions during the testimony phase when I'm up there with demonstrative evidence in front of the jury?
It was almost like watching a TV show, honestly. I mean, it was... I've, you know, never seen anything like that in my career outside of watching TV and, you know, going out there and taking the measurements and how you piece that whole crime scene back together and certain things that the DA had marked that wasn't even right. And it went, you know, carrying it over to the trial, I, like Kathy said, just the way you was able to explain it to where everybody could understand it. for one. And like she said, instead of putting the jurors to sleep, they probably were on the edge of the seats, you know, waiting to see what you was going to say, like everybody was. And I honestly feel like that was, you know, the home run hit that, you know, Kathy was able to find you and use your expertise on this.
You know, I want to add something in here because attorneys do such a wonderful job. Most attorneys do in handling a case like yours, Derek. But some attorneys, I think the ego tends to get in their way and they don't know everything about everything. They know what their job is. They know the law. They know all the things that they should be doing. Where when you have an expert like Dr. Ron, you have an expert that knows his job and knows how to understand evidence. And that's not really an attorney's job so much. That's an expert's job. So you have to give Kathy just a boatload of credit for not letting ego get in the way, but really truly wanting to help a man that she believed was innocent and going out and searching out somebody that could help her prove that with facts, not with la-la land, but with facts. And that's what makes the difference in a case like this, Ron.
Yeah. And you know, what's really interesting, whether you're an expert, whether you're an attorney, when you look at all the evidence and then you realize that an innocent man is being prosecuted, you go above and beyond what you need to do to save that man's life. And so, you know, attorneys get bills from experts, but there's scores of hours that, you know, people like me never charge for. And I know working with Kathy and with her legal team, they were staying up at nights and doing things and not billing for those hours too. You know, we're doing what we need to save an innocent man's life. And that just, I'm sorry, there's no amount of money that you put on something like that. You've got to have the heart. You've got to have the soul. You've got to have the ethics and you have to have the work, the resolve and the work ethic in order to do that. Because ultimately, we are attorneys and experts. We are life changers. We bring the truth, hopefully, and closure, you know, to something that is so traumatic that is affecting someone like Derek Wylie.
That's why I stayed with Kathy. Like, something inside of me knew she was doing the best job she could, and I trusted her, which was number one. And I'll never forget the day I posted bail. The guy told me the reason why he was helping me is because he knew if any attorney could beat this case, it was Kathy. And even though I was her first cleat case, it was just something about her. Well, first of all, she got sent out there. And to me, that was God's work, you know, because anybody could have got sent out there, but it was her turn. And I don't know. I trusted Kathy and I had made my mind up that win or lose, I was going to ride it out with her.
Well, it might have been my first cleat case, but wasn't my first shooting case.
Exactly.
Not your first rodeo, Kathy.
No. Yeah. 20 years of practice. I knew what I was doing with the law enforcement, but thank you for that, Derek. But I do want to give a little bit of kudos back to some of the players in your department. Remember, I expressed that I felt like they were hesitant or scared to cooperate. Well, now they are also seeing that an innocent man, now that they've learned some stuff from sitting in the trial and the buzz going around the police department, that your life was in jeopardy also. Your freedoms were in jeopardy. And all of a sudden, I had full cooperation with not only your sergeant, but the detective. And I was pointed in a direction, a nudge, so to speak, to review the detective's original handwritten notes. Well, it was cursive and it was hard to read. And I just went, why don't we just look at his police report? Because it would be what's in there would be in the other. But no, what was in his handwritten notes showed me that from the beginning, the district attorney's office took over the case and did not care what the detective discovered or learned. Very important. So now in the second trial, I was able to work with that detective and help him, you know, answer the questions. I knew he would be on cross, so I could lead him, take him through it, and be able to express himself in a better way, which he learned a lot from that. So trial preparation, witness preparation is a big deal also. Now he was more ready to get in what he needed to get in. And we talked about the whole trial from the first one to the second one. And he came through for you, Derek, and made it very clear the reason why we are there is because of politics.
Oh, yeah, I definitely agree. And I remember telling you from day one, I trusted those guys in that, you know, and I know you had reasons to be cautious. But, you know, I just knew that the support that I was getting, the text messages that I was getting, and I knew those guys were doing the right thing or were trying to do the right thing. And you know, I've talked to them and they know I love them, and I'll always appreciate them standing up and doing the right thing.
You know, one of the things that was interesting for me, because I was testifying for quite some time, and, you know, of course, you know, you take a break from time to time, and, you know, you're out in the hallway. And I'll never forget that one of the times I was out in the hallway, the Police Officers Association president approached me in the hallway and, you know, wanted to shake my hand. And he said, and by the way, this trial was being televised. People don't know that, but it was being televised. And I wish I could find out where that video is. But he told me that they were the people from the police department administration, the chief and everybody, they were in a room and they were watching that testimony, and the word coming back to the POA president was that they were feeling pretty bad once they started hearing all the evidence in your favor, Derek, and realizing that you were an innocent officer being unfairly prosecuted for this shooting incident.
Oh, wow. This is my first time hearing that.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
So Kathy, Derek ended up getting acquitted in the second trial.
Yes. Boy, talk about tears.
Oh, I have no doubt. So Derek, what has transpired in your life? First of all, talk to us briefly about that moment of you getting acquitted. And then what has transpired in your life since then?
There's really no words like to explain. It was like the whole world was just lifted off of my back. When the guy read not guilty, and sorry.
I want to also mention a little twist in your case before you go on to tell us about what's happened in your life.
Let Kathy talk about that.
Yeah, Kathy, talk about the little twist at the end of Derek's trial there.
Are you referencing the jurors?
Yes.
So I have a chance after each trial, if the jurors will let us, to go back and talk to them. And the DA and I will go back and we get some pluses, minuses, whatever, little feedback. But in this case, a couple jurors laid back while the rest of them left after we had that discussion. And one particular juror was very interested in telling us a lot of things. And one of the things that she shared with us was that while Derek was testifying, his mom got emotional, got up and went out to the hall because you're not supposed to do that during trial. And Derek's wife happens to be a white woman, got up with his mom and went in the hall, and two black female jurors realized that was his wife. And when they did that, they went during deliberation, they were against Derek because he was married to a white woman. And that's so we had 10 jurors for not guilty. Two were holding out, two black females, because of that. Well, eventually they gave up on that in a couple hours. And it took like just a few hours, not long, nowhere near as long as the last one, but it just took a few hours. But they weren't going to budge for a while, and they finally did, and they all came to the not guilty. But based on being a black man with a white woman.
Very, very scary. And I just that people, anybody would be willing to let Derek Wylie go to prison because he's married to a white woman, not because he
is innocent.
Yeah, not because he's innocent, not because he's guilty either, but because of who he's married to. That's just very, very scary. And, you know, thank God that they came around. But wow, I mean, you just never know the twists and turns that some of these cases are going to take.
So Derek, how has your life changed as a result of your acquittal in this case and you getting your freedom back?
So I shortly after realized Mesquite didn't want me to come back. The chief told my CLEAT attorney that there was too much political pressure. So ultimately the city offered me a settlement. I accepted it. Since then, after I started applying for other agencies, I found out that the DA put me on his Brady's list for something that had nothing to do with this trial. That kind of hurt me a little bit. So I opened up my own CBD store, and, you know, opened up my own business. I shortly went back into law enforcement, but realized, you know, I still want to do police work. So I'm still working on a few things, but I'm hoping that I'll still get a chance to work as an officer again. But, you know, I can't complain. My family's healthy. I'm healthy.
And you have another baby on the way.
Yeah, I got another baby girl on the way. And
that's going to make three girls.
But yeah, three girls. Another thing that I learned about this trial, not only I just realized all the friendships that was formed out of this incident. And, you know, I see people like Dr. Martinelli friends with people that I was friends with. I mean, it's just whole thing just brought so many people together and friendships was formed. Kathy, Dr. Martinelli, the detectives, the Mesquite officers, all of y'all family to me now. Like, it's just amazing, like, how God took that whole situation and put everybody in my life and different people's lives. And so it's just, like, I don't have any complaints. It happened, it's over with, and I'm just ready to move forward.
Do you think you'll go back into law enforcement, Derek?
I do if the right situation presents itself. Yes, I would like to go back into law enforcement, but it's going to have to be a good fit for me to do it.
Yeah, you know, I just want to say one thing, and I've known Derek since this case, and I'd like to think that we're good friends now. And you know, I've trained, I don't know, probably close to 100,000 police officers in my time in police work, because I'm sort of as old as dirt. But but I got to tell you, Derek Wiley, in the time that we've spent together, me getting into his head, me learning about his ethics, his morals, his wonderful family, and I absolutely love his mother, his brother, his entire family is just so wonderful. These are the types of men and women that we desperately need in law enforcement today. And we need to really consider into the future, whether we want to have emotional political investigations or we want to have forensic investigations where we search jointly for the truth, because that is what matters. The false narratives do not matter. Organizations like Black Lives Matter do not matter. It is the brave men and women like Derek Wiley in law enforcement that matters, because they are truly the protectors and the defenders and the enforcers of the rule of law.
And when we prosecute them, we discourage other people from coming into that profession, which ultimately will hurt all of us. And who is going to protect us when we have no officers to protect us?
And you know, it's not to say that there are not officers, because there certainly are, but on very, very rare occasions. It's not like what Black Lives Matter says, where all the police officers are bad. In very, very rare occasions, we have officers that don't do their jobs, and in fact, treat people unfairly, use force inappropriately and excessively and even criminally. And those people absolutely need to be dealt with. They need to be disciplined. They need to be prosecuted. But we have to have the foresight and the maturity and the experience and not the blue bias where we look at the circumstances, facts, and forensic evidence and know the difference between an innocent officer's actions and the actions of an officer that are inappropriate and even criminal. And that's really the truth.
When an officer second guesses himself because he knows what's going on out there in the world like that, he'll be a dead officer.
Absolutely.
And so if he waits too long, he's dead. And if he doesn't, you know, and if he does it, he's going to be under criminal charges.
Well, I want to thank Derek Wiley, Officer Derek Wiley, for coming in and telling his story, because I've known about this story for some time. I've met you, Derek. It's just an extremely important story to tell. And as Ron said, it's not one officer, it's many officers that face the same scenario. And thank God for attorneys like Kathy Lothorp, who was there, who understands an innocent man when she sees one, who understands and is willing to look at the evidence and fight for what's right instead of just giving in to all this political pressure. You know, just thank God for Kathy that you were there, and thank God for Ron also that he was there and for what he does every day to protect our police officers, to save them from being criminally prosecuted for simply doing their job and protecting society. We need to stop prosecuting and persecuting our innocent officers. And I just want to also say real quickly that you are listening to Talking While Married. Dr. Ron and I are on America Out Loud every weekday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We hope you'll join us again. Please make sure you catch both segments of this show about the prosecution and persecution of Officer Derek Wiley.